Blog Talk Radio.
And praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church. I just thank God for being on our, again, on our radio broadcast by studying the Word of God on tonight. I give reverence to God, who is the head of my life, to Apostle Deans, and to everyone in their respective places. I'm so excited tonight. I just thank and praise God for being able to study with like-minded people. So I thank and praise God there that he's teaching us on tonight. We're getting ready to call our Bible class to order. We're going to have a short devotion, a song, a scripture, and a prayer, and then we're going to go into the study of our of the Word of God. Just one second, please.
Oh, Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Our scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thine habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because He hath set His love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I have just read you Psalms 91 in its entirety. May God richly add a blessing to the reader, the hearers, but most of all, the doers of His most holy word. Father, we come on tonight, Lord, asking You to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Lord, that we've committed against You. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come tonight, Father, asking You now to just have mercy and forgive us and cleanse us through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We come just asking You now to forgive us for every fault and look beyond them and see our needs, God. In the name of Jesus, we come first of all asking You to bind the strong man. I bind the strong man tonight from our radio broadcast. I bind up the strong man. I bind him up from our radio broadcast and from each one of our lives. In the name of Jesus, and every demon that's on assignment, Your assignment is canceled here. We bind you up. We cast you out. And we command You to go in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I ask You tonight to let Deborah decrease, that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit may increase and teach us on tonight and minister to us on tonight. In the name of Jesus, I have no knowledge of nothing of myself, but of by Christ and Him being crucified. In the name of Jesus, I just give You praise. I give You glory, and I give You honor, Lord. And I ask all these things in Jesus' name and for Your glory, amen and amen. Amen. I just want to thank everyone for being on our radio broadcast on tonight. We're going to be talking about and still discussing prophets on tonight. We're going to just talk about the about prophets. I just want to talk a little bit about prophets. I want to talk about some personalities of a prophet. And I want to talk about the credentials, the covenant, I want to talk about the prophetic mantle. Yeah. But we're going to talk about the personality, of a prophet, or the temperament of a prophet on tonight, as with their natural ability, prospective of prophets. They're born with a distinction or a distinct temperament that most of them struggle with the greater part of their lives. You know, when you're born as a prophet, when you come out the mother's womb as a prophet, you're already born with a personality or a temperament, because we already know that we're going to be in a fight. I mean, it's already in us. God already called us as prophets from our mother womb. So when we come, it's a struggle most of the time. Until they are called by the Lord and connected with other prophets, prophetic types, prophets live with one shock after another. They live with one thing after another. Even when you connect with the Lord, we still go through so much, because prophets are most of the time by themselves. Like I said before, they're loners. And first of all, they are lonely. But then God just kind of get them used to it, because first of all, he want us to know that he want our attention and undivided attention. And secondly, a lot of people, when you let them know that you're in the prophetic or you are called prophet, then they start thinking you're crazy, or thinking she thinks she's something, or who told her she was a prophet, or why would she think something like that, or I don't believe in the prophetic, so, you know, or saying all kind of crazy stuff. You know, you have to really watch yourself being a prophet. We have sometimes a personality that we don't like a whole lot of drama. We don't care for a whole lot of talk. You know, when you find a prophet that likes to talk a lot, it's something wrong, because prophets don't talk a lot. They're going to say what they're going to say, but they're not going to talk a lot, like gossip. They're not going to do that. And if they just being thrusted into the prophetic and they just finding out, maybe they may have that, but it'll soon wear out, because prophets don't have time to talk for listening. They don't have time to talk. They listening, because if God is speaking to you and you miss it, he's not going to say it again. So you miss it. And most of the time, it's a scripture or something, or he giving you a message for somebody, and he's not going to say it again. So what we have to do is try to pay attention, and then the ones that don't be by themselves a lot, you know, we need to make time for God. We need to just make time for God, because he's going to talk to you. If you set an hour, half hour, two or three times a day, I'm telling you, I guarantee you God will speak to you in those times. He will speak to you. If you go and just relax and meditate, God will say something to you. But we have to do it. We have to do it. If we don't do it, then, you know, we miss what God said. We don't want to do that. But prophets live with one shock after another. to their personalities. Many people find them rash, brash, too outspoken, and painfully honest. And that's right, with prophets, they're going to tell you the truth. They're going to tell you the truth. You ought to want to know the truth, and sometimes it hurts. The truth hurts. But, you know, you have to bear it. And people are not going to, you know, like you too much, care for you too much, because you do tell them the truth. I preached that sermon about am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? No. We have to because we call prophets. We have to. But we, you know, outspoken. And what they mean is you're not gonna sit up there and let things just keep happening. You're gonna say, look, this is out of order, or some, whatever's going on. But if we're not gonna say anything, then you know God's gonna get us. But for this reason, the basic character of the office begins to take hold when they are youngsters. When most of the time, when a prophet is young, I mean youngster, because I was young and I didn't know I was a prophet, but I knew, you know, I was seeing things and all kind of stuff. I knew I was seeing stuff. I didn't like it. But a lot of people, my mother just thought I was playing, and she didn't know what to tell me because she didn't know herself. So I was kind of stuck. Then, but like I said, she took me to this prophet. His name was Dr. Williams, and he told me some things. And I still didn't believe it because I didn't understand it, but my mother did. So when God did let me see things, I would run to her and she would say, don't worry about it, it's going to be all right. Yeah, I know you saw this, but just calm down, it's okay. And God knows this and God knows that. But when you're young, it kind of blows your mind because I didn't know what to think. I thought I was watching too many horror movies and just all kind of stuff. And then the stuff that I did see, I didn't want to tell my friends because they was going to think I was crazy because I'm a little girl. So when you're a young person, it kind of throws you for a loop. But the future prophets become distant, defensive, and because they know nothing else to do with their unusual personalities and temperament, they sometimes say to themselves. Because at first I didn't know what God was saying. I just didn't. When I was growing up, and I'm saying about myself because I can't speak for other people, but as I grew up, I was always by myself. Even when I was doing wrong, I was by myself and doing right. I'm talking about 18, 19, 20. Even all of the things that I was getting into and then going after that, I would go to church and got in the church and stayed in the church. I was still a loner most of the time. I served God. I would help the women, like I'm still helping women today. But I still really didn't understand the call that was on my life. And God has taken me to another level, to the apostolic, but I still have that prophetic on my life. I started off as an intercessor praying, and I love to pray today. We don't lose those gifts. I have a fivefold ministry. So, and I thank and praise God for that. It's an awesome ministry. But you have to be ready to sacrifice, fast, pray, give up, whatever it is. Stay in the face of God. Whatever you have to do, I do whatever I have to do to stay in the face of God, to please Him in what I do, in what I say. Now, once we recognize, once prophets recognize their life calling and how their personalities serve their destiny, they become at peace with themselves and kind of calm down some. Kind of calm down some, because a lot of times, you know, we're on edge. Because we don't know what to expect, and we don't know when God is going to say something. Because I'm telling you, He'll tell you to say something to somebody you don't know, and you haven't seen, and a whole lot of other stuff. He will tell you to go and touch somebody, or go and, because He told me to go touch somebody that I, and I'm like, I'm not going to touch that lady on the back of her leg by her behind. I'm not going to do that. But believe me, He got a way. You're going to do it. He got a way. You're going to do it. So I had to do it. But if, you know, then I found out after that, if I'm just obedient and do what He says, you know, things will be better. But we have to realize, that we are prophets. We have to realize that that's our calling. And people, each one of us as prophets, we have people just waiting for us. And God will give you an opportunity. You have to be focused enough to know this is your opportunity. God is giving you an opportunity. He's giving you an opportunity to minister. Even somebody, He may send you somebody that needs deliverance. He'll give you a word to give that person. And you have to give it to him just like He said. It may not be but two words, because He gives to us most of the time in part. But don't overstep, because then it'll turn right into divination, because you'll be giving what you want to say. See, and if you do that, then it runs on into divination. It's not God. It's a thin line between the prophetic and divination. He really meant this. No, God says what He means, and He means what He says. You can't say what God means. His thoughts are not like our thoughts. His ways are not like our ways. So you have to listen for what God is saying. Listen. When I tell you, sometimes I be in the house by myself and it's just quiet and it's peaceful. And you can hear, it's like an open microphone. Open mic. Because you don't have to be in the presence of a person for him to tell you something for that person. You have to write it down or remember it, though, because he won't tell you again. And I just say he didn't have, won't tell me again. I don't know what he do for everybody else, but he don't say it to me again. So I try to either write it down or I'll remember it. But once we recognize the calling on our life, we kind of calm down. The typical prophet may be characterized by some of the following, by a strong authoritative presence molded by visions and dreams, motivated by visions and dreams, processing a compatibility with a different lifestyle, delivering judgment, excessive judgment, openness to divine communications, being somewhat of a loner. That's what I was just telling most of the prophets. And a lot of times we miss that. Now, it was a couple of years ago, I had about 10 armor bearers, maybe 3 years ago. Had about, I know it was longer than about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, about 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, I had about 10 armor bearers. Believe me, I had them. And they all left one by one by one. I was like, God, what did I do? You know, I was just telling everybody. I said, they just left. And God told me, he said, don't worry about it. Not one of them meant you any good. Not one. He said, I moved them. He said, and I will send you armor bearers when you need them. So maybe I don't need them yet. I'm praying for one because I do need somebody. But I'm away for God. I'm not going to jump on it on my own. I'm not doing that. I'm over that. I'm over that. What God can do, it won't be done. But we have to be, as prophets, sensitive to the Spirit of God. Now, the prophet's mantle is as distinguished from the prophecy anointing. This term refers to a particular spiritual covering that designates and empower prophets. The mantle serves to promote and provoke the prophet's spirit within the office. It is an official garment that is discerned by most people and honored and collaborated with by the angelic host. The prophet's mantle is how the prophet attracts a following, accurately present of the word of the Lord, and gathers the prophet's personal economy in support of the ministry. Now, that mantle is like authority that God is giving you to do what you're doing. And you shouldn't have to wear a sign on your back saying, I'm a prophet. People are going to know you're a prophet, and they're going to know you have the mantle. The prophet's mantle, like over in 1 Samuel 28 and 14, is not only eternal and spiritual, but it is the prophet's covering and contains the messenger's ministry attributes as well. It is what devotes the office to his or her God from whom the mantle was received in the first place. The prophet's mantle affects on the office or the officer when in service or preparing for the prophetic ministry. It targets the spiritual belly, the internal organs, the intestines, and emotions. And what we have to do, discern, pray for more discernment with the in using the mantle, using your gift, because it's plenty of times you will be challenged as being a prophet. People will say all kind of stuff. We have to pray for discernment. We have to fast. We have to pray. Those are key things that the prophets have to do. Not sometimes, but mostly all the time. I pray all the time. I pray all the time, every chance I get. And I'm not saying 24 hours a day, but I do try to get anywhere from 4, 5, 6, 7 hours a day of prayer and then go and study. You have to do that. And I know you have to grow into that. I've been doing this a long time. And I don't care how long it takes. I really don't. I don't care how many hours I have to pray. I want to please God. I want to do it. We can't always do that. I didn't used to do it like that. I used to pray a half hour. I used to pray an hour, 2 hours, three. And, you know, you just have to keep going up. And the more I pray and stay before God, he elevates you. Then you have to really fight in the spirit because you're getting more demons attacking you because he's taking you to another realm in the spirit, another level. It's the prophetic and you have the prophetic anointing as well on you. A lot of following and a lot of people are attracted, even the demons are attracted to the mantle, to the anointing, I mean, to the prophetic anointing. But we have to pray and ask God to help us with that. Do we have any questions or anything today? Okay.
Good evening.
We're going to go right on to good evening.
Apostle.
Yes,
hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to thank you for teaching on this because, you know, I'm a very real person. I tell people how it is, whether it hurts their feelings or not. And knowing that it's because I only have one friend, and knowing that it's coming from my prophetic gift, it kind of, you know, it put an ease on me, and I'm able to, you know, deal with things a little bit more. And now when people walk away, I could just let them go because I know I did what the Lord told me to do, and now
right.
It's up to God.
Right.
So I thank you and appreciate
right.
you for, you know, teaching on it. And I love you.
Yeah. I love you too. Amen. It's a blessing to know about the gift, especially about the prophetic gift. It's a blessing to know about that prophetic gift because a lot of times you're going through stuff. We all struggle. When I tell you this calling that's on your life, the calling caused things to happen. It does. The calling, your calling could have been a pastor, could have been a teacher. It's different from a prophet or an apostle. It's different. What you go through is different. Because apostle and a prophet, that's kind of like the highest gifts. And I'm not saying that because I'm an apostle, but I'm saying that because we have more things. God looks for us to do more. He looks for us to do more. And when God gives you to do it, you have to do it. Or you'll be sorry later. Or you don't do it now, you're going to do it later. So we're going to talk about the prophetic change and signals of a prophet. I got thrown off a little bit, but I'm good. My mind. We're going to talk about the prophetic change and signals and signs of the prophetic or the prophet. A word that supports ongoing prophetic awareness of the times and seasons of the Lord and the prophet's duty to remain so. The phrase defines the inner sensation that alerts the prophet to the signs received from God that indicate he is implementing and are igniting something prophesied previously. Okay, sometimes God, he'll give us a word to give to somebody. And our duty is to do it and to remain until it's done. And God will give signs to us that he's implementing or igniting what you need to prophesy or give a message to give to a person. Now, earlier, last week, I think it was, I had a dream, and I think I told you all about this dream. And I dreamed, it was a vision. It wasn't really a dream. It was a vision, and God showed me it was something like a compass, a pocket watch. It was round like that, and it had a glass, a square glass in the front, and there was a lot of numbers, and they looked like either they was going front or backwards. I couldn't tell, but they were going really fast. They were just going. And this thing looked like it was made out of antique gold. And then at the same time, in this same vision, he showed me some police cars. And then he showed me some stars or some lights in a dark place. But I could see them. They it was so many lights, I'd say, well, maybe those are stars. Then I'm not really asleep. I'm looking at this stuff. Then he showed me a pair of white socks with some blue writing on them, and I seen a D, so I was thinking about Detroit. Then I think, okay, and at that time I was like, what was this? What is this? What is, you know, and I've been praying and around here and praying and stuff. And so today, he started giving me little pieces of it. Because when you talk about the compass or pocket watch or whatever that was with the glass in it, it was a heavy gold, like an antique gold. So I'm thinking that was something in the past, that's past stuff or old stuff. Then the glass means that I could see clearer or see through it. Then the numbers mean time, some kind of time. Then from there to the police cars, where the police means authority. Then from the police cars, it went to the stars or the lights, and that means angels. That represents angels, the light or the stars or whatever that the light. And then he goes to the sock. Well, a sock means a door. And white means pure. And the light blue trimming around it means in death or trust, or it had a few meanings. And so I'm saying in death. And the D on the sock means, what did it mean? Oh, the D on the sock means door. That's what it was. And the sock means that you, it's like comfort, that I'm in my comfort zone and that I become used to whatever it is about myself. So mostly visions and dreams are about yourself, about me. So whatever this is that he was showing me is about something in the past. And then I feel like the goal means that I've been through some. I've been through a purification or a goal. Goal kind of symbolizes that you've been through like a purification goal. How they do gold, they melt it down, and it goes through some things, some levels or whatever. And but anyway, I feel like he's giving me a lot of answers, but I'm praying, y'all pray with me. I'm still praying that he will put this thing together for me. And I know he will, because he's giving me all these different things. He's giving me all these different things. So I want God to let me know it's something about the old.
No.
It's something about the past. And I don't know what it is. So he's praying with me about this. But in that house, as a prophet, God will do. He'll do that. Do you have any questions or any comments?
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you now.
Okay. How everybody doing tonight?
Fine. How are you?
Great. I was just listening in to what you were saying about the prophetic and about being a prophet. And I've been knowing ever since I was 7 years old that I was a prophet, a prophetess.
Okay.
Ever since I was 7 years old. I've been knowing that, and I went through a whole lot of stuff up in my life, and I always knew that I was a prophet, but I never could understand the gift of the prophetic. And like you were saying, it takes a long time, and it takes a lot of prayer and a lot of fasting and a lot of dedication to God to really understand the office and the gift of a prophet. And it's, like you said, it's a very, very high office that requires a lot of submission and a lot of dedication. You know, I joined the Christian church when I was 30 years old and gave my life to Jesus and all of that. And I went through much stuff growing up as a little girl and a teenager and a young woman. I went through so much heartache. And I think it has something to do with the gift that I had as a prophet or the calling that I had. I didn't understand it back then. I just thought I was losing my mind, going crazy, and everybody used to call me weird, and she's strange, and you know, like you said, when you're a prophet or a prophetess, you're a loner, and my whole life, I have been a loner, so I can witness and identify with you what you are saying about being a loner, and people think you are crazy, and you don't know what you're talking about, but... Yeah, and I joined the Christian church when I was 30 years old because I just got so frustrated and I was suicidal and I didn't want to live no more because I had went through so much stuff in my life. In the world trying to, you know, be a sinner and do whatever the world is doing. I just almost lost my mind. And the things I went through as a child, being molested and raped and all kind of stuff. I was just tore up. When I got 30 years old, I told God, you know, if you don't help me, I just can't do it no more. I don't want to live. And I just, you know, I met this pastor, and he called me in his church, and he was talking to me about, you know, everybody mostly knew about Jesus, and when you're a little girl or a little boy, you raised up in a church and all that, but not really having a relationship with him, right? So when I was 30 years old, that's when I got a relationship with him, and you know, and I became a pastor of the Christian church, and
oh my, so much stuff went on. But what I wanted to say to you is once I became, it was like I was okay. I was okay just being with God and just knowing that I was a child of God and knowing that God was my father and I was in prayer and fasting. But it's like when I decided, and God didn't tell me, he says, okay, if you want to be a pastor, but I'm not telling you to be a pastor. Because I could always hear God. I could always hear God, even at a little girl. I started praying at 3 years old. I could hear God 3 years old all the way up. He said, I'm not telling you to be a pastor, but I asked him, he said, yes, okay, you want to be one? Go ahead. And I was a pastor at a Christian church for like 15 years, you know, a long time. And to be honest with you, I got grieved with it. I got grieved with it because it was not my calling. It was not my calling. And it took me 15 years to realize that wasn't my calling. I was operating in a gift that God didn't give me. It was something that I asked him I could do, and he said it was okay. But I got grieving, and I left the Christian church. I said, no, I don't want to be a pastor no more because something is just not right here. Something is missing. I just can't continue to go into church on Sunday and do all that stuff. It's more to my life. It's more to what God wants me to do. But just speeding up everything. Last year in 2019 is when I really began to understand my gifts as a prophet.
Okay.
And a prophet.
Okay.
It took like a year now. Because I have my own radio broadcast on Blog Talk in 2019 of October. You know, the prophetic became heavy in my life, real heavy, Oh, my God, I really just start understanding my word of knowledge. I understand, understand the wisdom of knowledge, all the gifts that come with being a prophet. I began to understand it about a year ago. And I spoke a prophetic message that God told me to tell the whole world in 2019. And like you said, sometimes when you say people think you're crazy and it don't make sense to them. But he told me to speak it, and I had to speak it, prophet. So he told me to tell everybody in the world on Blog Talk Radio, whoever you could tell, whoever can listen, that millions would die in 2020. Millions.
Really?
And that was that was in January of last. That was in October of last year. I told them millions of people gonna die in 2020, and look what we have—the coronavirus.
Right.
The prophetic, it's a very, very challenging gift and office. You know, and I had to speak that. And anybody want to go back to just witness what I say, you can go to my tape on Blog Talk and just see what I was saying about that. But I'm going to get off the radio because I don't want to take up all the time. But I just want to say this.
Oh.
When God tells you to speak something as a prophet or a prophetess and do something, you must do it. And like you say, you better write it down. I'm a witness to that.
That's
he's not going to tell you over and over and over. You're going to tell it one time, and that's it. And if you don't get it, then you miss that. So I'm a witness
that's
to that. And, I told them millions was going to die, and I've been prophesizing even now, telling them that the economy is not going to open back up because God is the one locked it down. And I've been telling people I've been telling them. Yeah, you are in a lockdown because God locked down the economy. God locked down the world because we have been in too much sin and transgression. And he don't like the things that's going on in the Christian church and how they, you know. So I'm going to stop right there.
Yeah. Well, and you know what, and I appreciate you, you know, giving your view on a lot of things, and I understand a lot what you've been through because I've been through a lot myself,
yeah.
And most of these prophets on here, they've been through things too. We go through things, but like I told them when I told them last year, also I told them that something was getting ready to happen, to store up, put food up. I told them to get flashlights, batteries. I didn't know what, I thought we was going to have a bad winter, but I knew something was happening. It's going to happen. And now, listen, today they have a new virus out, a new swine flu virus coming from Hong Kong or somewhere with the pigs. Anybody eating that pork better stop eating it because the pigs got the swine flu. And they said it's going to make a lot of people sick and a lot of people going to die from it. So whoever eats pork needs to stop eating pork now because it's in the pigs. And
I don't eat pork because it's in the Bible not to eat pork. We should never eat
right.
pork.
And a lot of people, right. It's a lot of people don't eat it, but I'm just saying, we have to make sure that we are doing what we're supposed to do for the Lord. We're going to go ahead on and do just one more thing in the prophetic. We're going to talk a little bit about the accuracy of the prophetic. We can talk about the activation, the process whereby the largely dormant or feeble prophetic powers of a prophet are empowered by the Lord, either directly or as customary by human agent for service. The activation not only releases the servant gifting and mantle for service, but it imparts to them what is needed for effective hearing, singing, discerning, and communicating in the spirit. Paul activated Timothy by the laying on of hands and the word of prophecy. The same was done for him by the older apostles. Jesus activated the 11 by breathing on them and declaring they received the Holy Spirit. Another example is when Moses activated Joshua according to the word of the Lord by laying hands on him and commending him to the office to vacate. The Lord called it inaugurating him. In the New King James Version, or charging him in the King James Version. Others call it the act of commissioning. Now, you know, I guess, and then a lot of people just say ordaining. I've ordained maybe, I guess, about 20 prophets. Here in Michigan, I've ordained about 20 prophets here in Michigan. Ordinarily, the laying on of hands and prophesying are accompanied by the anointing, where oil symbolizes the oil of the Holy Spirit is either poured upon or smeared on them. And that's another thing. A lot of times, when you are a prophet, you're prayed over, you're activating the prophetic, or just given almost like a preaching license, or I wouldn't say a license, but everyone I ordain as a prophet, I did give them a license. I did give them ordination paper. I did give it to them, so, and I ordained them. And I haven't had an ordination service for a prophet in maybe 3 years. But I have affirmed about 10 apostles, and I've ordained about 20 prophets. And it's nothing, you know, it's nothing, but it's what God told me to do. And they all still doing what they supposed to do, except for a few, and the few that I think it is. I haven't had any contact with them. But we want to stay in the place where we need to be when it comes to the prophetic. And we want to let God use us. We want to let God use us to do the things he wants us to do. We have also, the prophetess, it's just a female prophet. The prophetess is, prophetess date back as far as the institution itself and ascribe with all powers and authority and competency of their male counterparts. I mean, you can, a prophetess is still a prophet. A prophetess is still a prophet. I call a lot of people prophets, but a prophet and a prophetess, either one, God did both of them. He called both of them. It doesn't, to me, the office of a prophet is either way. Male, no male or female, you called by God, that's who you are. You're ordained by him. He called you, he ordained you. But a lot of times when you go into somebody's church and pulpit area and don't have any credentials, that's why I said we're going to talk about it, they'll ask you out. They will ask you out. The mantle, signs and symbols and activities, that certifies one's worthy as a prophet, the mantle sign. The gifts, callings, and anointing that identify one a trusted prophet according to God's standard. Act with word, prophetic acuity, and a history of the prophetic manifestations or some abilities and skills that credentials a prophet. With these is God's endorsement according to the terms of his prophetic covenant by performing the words the prophet speaks. See, we have to know that God give us the gift. He calls us and he anoints us into the prophetic. And it's in the way to tell a prophet is when they word come to pass or fruition. When it come to pass, then you know. And sometimes a prophet give you a word and it don't come to pass right then. Sometimes it's according to your faith. So you have to really know and ask God for discernment when it comes to the prophetic like that. Mm-hmm. That's what you have to do. But the credentials is important. Like I say, when you go to another church, when you go to a church or facility and they have never seen you before, and you know, a pastor has to be over and watch what's going through the pulpit because God holds him responsible for that. So he has to know what's sitting up there. So he's going to ask you for some credentials. You need to have them. So, and that's what I try to give them, and I tell them you can have them down low. You know, you can make them down like license and have them so that you'll be able to put them in your wallet, pocketbook or something, and pull it out and show it to them. But I'm getting ready to let you all go because it's been an hour, but I have really enjoyed because God has been dealing with me all day about the prophetic and about dreams and visions and stuff, and it's all in my spirit, man. So on Thursday night, we're going to be right back. I'm going to talk a little bit more about prophecy. Then we're going to have our praise, prayer, and prophecy hour on Thursday night at the same time. So is there anything before I get off? Anyone?
I would like to say something if I can.
Okay.
I would like to say, prophetically speaking, because God just told me to say this before I let everybody go off the line, or before you let everybody go. He told me to tell everybody that's on this radio broadcast that he is angry with the Christian church.
That's right.
I'm going to say it again. Because you told me to say it again. He is angry with the Christian church, and that's why they shut down.
Yep.
And I don't think nobody is really realizing it, that he is really, really frustrated right now with the Christian church, and they all shut down, and I don't want to step over myself, but I just have to say what he wants me to say, because he said he's angry at the Christian church because they've been into a lot of adultery and false worship.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I'm
going to
leave it. Like that.
Well,
I'm not gonna say no more. I'm gonna leave it right there.
Amen. And I appreciate that. I've already told them that God was upset because we're not doing what He called us to do. We're not doing what we're supposed to do as pastors and leaders. He's upset about it, and He's not gonna let the churches back open like He. He know what to do. He's resetting everything. He resetting everything. And once he reset everything, he'll do what he's going to do. But right now, he wants us to stay in quarantine. We got to stay in quarantine right now. Mm-hmm.
We need a prophet. We got to have prophets right now. Because only the prophet is God. We don't need to hear no pastors and elders and deacons. We need to hear from prophets that's connected.
Absolutely.
To the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Amen.
Absolutely.
And can I add to that? I feel like God got us at home, because we need to be praying, especially prophets.
Yeah.
To be praying and.
Yeah.
Meditating and fasting, because we don't know what's going on, but God been sending words to His prophets. So evidently,
right.
He wants us to stand firm for His people, so we can, you know, get past.
Right.
So I feel like yes, we need
that's
to
right.
be all to ourselves, quiet and praying.
That's right. That's right. You absolutely right.
I have some things I would like to share. I have some prosthetics that I need to really share to people to let them know. Matter of fact, I'm in the process of writing a book about the coronavirus, because I've been revealed so much in the prosthetic about what's going on right now with the coronavirus and why it's here and all of that. And I'm in the process of writing a book right now. So I need to, as a prophet of the God of Israel, I need to speak to let the people know, because people don't understand what's going on, right? A lot of people. So they need the prophetic.
That's right. That's right. And that's what I've been telling them. I mean, I'm an apostle, but I have the gift of prophecy. And basically on this line, on this radio broadcast, we have basically more leaders, prophets, than anything. That's what I teach most of the time, is prophets. We prophetess. And that's basically what be on this line. We're all prophets on this line.
I operated in a process in an apostle for like 10 years, 15 years. You know, I started traveling all over the world. When I left the Christian church for being a pastor, I went into the office apostle. I have 5-4-2 just like you. So, yeah, I left the Christian church and I went to traveling all over the world and walking into my gift of apostle. So, yeah, I know about that.
Amen.
So,
well, maybe we need to keep in touch and everything so we can encourage each other. I have your telephone number. I'll give you a call.
Okay. Do that, Apostle. I would be glad to talk to you personally. Very glad.
Okay. Okay. Well, we're going to get ready to close out. Father, we just thank you for our Bible class on tonight. Father, we give you praise and glory on tonight. We magnify your holy name tonight, Lord. We thank you on tonight, God. We give you glory. We give you praise on tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the prophet, the leader on tonight. In the name of Jesus, we ask you on tonight to cover us in the shed blood of Jesus. Cover everyone under the sound of my voice. In the name of Jesus, cover them, Lord, their family. Cover them right now in the name of Jesus. And encamp your angels all around the bottom to protect them from all hurt, harm, or danger. Father, we just thank you for your word. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord maketh his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. You all have a blessed night. God loves you, and I love you too. And prophetess, I give you a call.
Okay. All right, Apostle. I talk to everybody later. God bless you. Good night.
God bless you. Good night.